subject for this evening, divine help for human problems. Do three favors for me. Favor number one, please turn off your phones. Who has already done that even before I asked you? Can I see your right hand? Oh, okay. Please, phones turned off. Don't rebel. Don't disobey. You may go home and find you've been dismissed from the university. So please, cooperate with the preacher. All phones turned off. If you think the witch doctor can put a spell on you, God can put one. Now, all phones turned off. While you are cooperating as a Christian who is born again, I have a second favor to ask. While I speak, pray for me. And say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. Who prayed for me this morning? 7-8 people. Out of 800. Looks like a difficult week ahead for me. But my faith will grow. Who intends to pray for me tonight? Who will try? Can I see your hand? Ah, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And when you pray, all I want you to say is, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. That is based on Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, which says, Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And the third favor I ask, very respectfully, is that you think as you listen. And thinking ought to come to you reflexively, genetically, automatically, because you are part of an academic environment. No one should ask you to think. It should be your natural behavior. Apply your massive intellect to the Word of God. And as you think, guaranteed, God will bless your mind. By the way, thinking of God's Word makes all other subjects easier to understand. Thinking, meditating, contemplating, dwelling on God's Word strengthens the mind to such a degree that all other subjects become easier to understand. Listen to some inspired counsel. Never forget this quotation. Christ Object Lessons, page 125, paragraph 3. What book did I say? What page? What paragraph? Listen carefully. If the follower of Christ will believe his word and practice it, there is no science in the natural world he will not be able to grasp and appreciate. Are you having difficulty with physiology, calculus, biochemistry? Make time for God's word. And the inventor of calculus, it wasn't Newton, it was God. The inventor of physiology, God. The inventor of physics, God, will assist you in understanding the works of his hands. Can you say amen? If the follower of Christ, that's you, will believe his word, you've got to study it to believe it, and practice it, obey. There is no science in the natural world he will not be able to grasp and appreciate. And I will talk about that in the course of the week. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we've had a long day. Your sons and your daughters have listened and heard and participated. Now, as we come to the end of the day, I ask you, in the interest of truth, for your own glory, dear God, give them right now an infusion of energy that they may be able to concentrate, listen, analyze, criticize, and receive the truth. Father, I am delighted that we have guests among us. I ask you very specifically, Father, bless our visitors. Bless them in such a way that they will always associate that blessing with their coming to fellowship with the Seventh-day Adventists. And hasten the day when one day they will be one of us. Now give me simple utterance, dear God. Tell me what to say. Tell me when to say it. Tell me how to say it. Bless all my young brothers and sisters. Bless their families. I ask you again, bless this nation. Bless the leaders, dear God. You rule in the affairs of men, and so I ask you, through the agency of your Spirit, touch the minds of the leaders, that the decisions they make, whether they are aware of it or not, will be decisions that permit the gospel to go forward. Thank you for life. Thank you for freedom of worship in this blessed country of Ghana. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Divine power for human problems. Let us go to Daniel chapter 8. We read from verse 13. And I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Daniel 8, reading from verse 13. If there are two books of the Bible that are at the foundation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they are Daniel and a Revelation in that order. One cannot be studied successfully without the other. Each one interprets, explains, and makes simple the teachings of the other. I say again, Daniel and Revelation must go together. And those who study Daniel and Revelation will have an understanding of present events in the world that CNN can never give you. And all the radio stations can never give you. And the BBC will never have. Because the student of God's Word is the only one who understands what's happening in the world today and what's coming tomorrow. Daniel 8, reading from verse 13, our subject, divine power for human problems. And I heard one saint speaking. And another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Of this verse, Daniel 8:14, the servant of the Lord writes in Great Controversy, page 409, paragraph 1. The scripture which above all others had been both the foundation and the central pillar of the Advent movement was the declaration, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. She identifies Daniel 8:14 as the biblical theological cornerstone of this church. Out of that verse springs what is known to us as present truth. And so he said unto me, verse 14, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, Daniel is seeing this in vision. Listen to verse 15. And it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision, and sought for the meaning, then behold, this stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, finish the verse. Come on, finish it. Make this man to understand the vision. Daniel saw a vision in chapter 2. Well, not Daniel saw a vision. Well, he was given an explanation. Nebuchadnezzar saw the vision. Excuse me. Daniel had a vision in chapter 7. He saw four animals. Verse 4, a lion. Verse 5, a bear. Verse 6, a leopard. Verse 8, verse 7, a nondescript beast, 7 and 8, which no one had seen. This beast had 10 horns. And of the 10 horns, one just came up among them, and in his coming up, he overthrew 3 of the original 10. And this little horn spake great things against the Most High. He thought to change times and laws. He persecuted the saints, and they were given into his hand for a time, times, and the dividing of time. Now, this was the part of the vision Daniel could not understand. The activities of the little horn, and this 2,300 day period before the sanctuary could be cleansed. Keep in mind that when Daniel is writing, and receiving the vision, Jerusalem is not in good shape. It's in ruins. Jeremiah had prophesied that after 70 years, the Israelites would go back, the Jews, to Jerusalem. Daniel knew the 70 years were just about up. Then what is this 2,300 days? Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. He could not understand that. You're a student. There is some subject matter that you don't understand at first. Maybe you're studying medicine. You do not understand all the steps of cellular respiration. And you study with your friends and you're studying anatomy. You can't understand origins and attachments. You can't understand the planes of the body. You cannot understand the circulatory system. There's some things that challenge your mind. You just don't understand. Not that you never will, but at some point you do not understand how oxygen moves from the blood to the alveoli out of the body. Daniel could not understand. Listen again to verse 15 as we continue. Divine power for human health. Not human power for human problems. Divine power for human problems. Verse 15, Daniel 8. And it came to pass, when even I, Daniel, had seen the vision. Stop. He saw it. Step 2. And sought for the meaning. What do you understand by sought for the meaning? What do you understand by sought for the meaning? He tried to do what? Understand. Are you with me? If you are, say amen. All right. It is critical you understand this part of the story. He tried. He sought for the meaning. When God saw that Daniel had exhausted his intellectual resources on this subject and had gotten nowhere. Listen to verse 16. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, finish that verse for me nice and loud. Come on. Make this man to understand the vision. Daniel has a problem. He's a human being. God is providing power from heaven. Now, the name of the heavenly assistant is Gabriel. Let us examine the kind of help God is willing to give you when you're stuck with biology or English or TWI. Is that what it's called? Can't understand the verbs in TWI. Let us look at Gabriel. Let's go to Luke 1. Luke 1. In this chapter, from about verse 10 to verse 23, an angel appears to a man called Zacharias. He's a priest. He is serving in the temple. And suddenly an angel appears on the right side of the altar of incense. Zacharias is frightened as Zacharias, I should say. And the angel says, fear not, Zacharias, verse 13 of Luke 1, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. By the way, you and I ought to so live that people rejoice that we were born. You didn't get it? It's my fault. Let me try it again by expressing it negatively. I am sorry Hitler was born. I am sorry Pol Pot was born, if you know anything about the modern history of Cambodia. I am sorry Stalin was born, if you're familiar with the murder of 25 million of his people. I am sorry Idi Amin was born, if you're familiar with the murder of over 300,000 of his people. I am glad John the Baptist was born. I am glad Nelson Mandela was born. I am glad a lot of people were born.
The angel told Zacharias, "Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." For those of you considering having children in these last days, make sure that it is your determination, a determination of tempered steel and cast iron, to raise that child so that society is glad he or she was born. Can you say amen? "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Let me pause again and digress. If there's a pregnant person listening to me, that child can be filled with the Holy Ghost while he or she is in your womb. But that is up to you and your spiritual life. The child you are carrying can be filled with the Holy Ghost as John the Baptist was, as Jeremiah was, and as Jesus was. But it's up to the mother to a large degree. "He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Verse 18, "And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. I am too old to father children, she's too old to conceive." How can this happen? An expression of doubt. Verse 19 is a little chilling if you put yourself in Zechariah's position as he stands in the presence of the mightiest angel God has ever made after Lucifer. "And the angel answering said unto him," read it for me now, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God." Stop. In heaven, there are levels of power and authority. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost in authority. In essence, of course, it is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Same thing. Let me say it again. In essence and substance and divinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, no difference. In administration, it is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Let's reason our way to this conclusion. Go to Luke 11. Let's read from verse 24. Luke 11, reading from verse 24, our subject, divine power for human problems. Luke 11, reading from verse 24. "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished." Now listen carefully. "Then goeth he," are you following? "And taketh to him seven other spirits," keep reading now, "more wicked than himself." Now stop. Think. Some demons have more power to do wickedness than other demons, because they used to be a part of God's unfallen contingent of angelic beings. When they left or thrown out, they left their positions, but they carried with them their power. Let me say it again. Some demons are more powerful than other demons. On the other side of that coin, some angels in heaven have more power than other angels. They have more privileges than other angels. Listen to Desire of Ages, page 761, paragraph 5. A very eye-opening statement about what God did for Lucifer. Here's what the prophet of the Lord says. "To him, as to no other created being,
was given a revelation of God's love. Lucifer understood God's love more profoundly than any other created being, and God gave him that revelation. So he was in an advantageous position above every other angel. Now, when he was thrown out, the Bible gives us evidence, the one who took his place is Gabriel. So when God wanted to inform Mary that she would be the mother of the Son of God, God sent Gabriel. A mission so delicate was not entrusted to a lowly angel, God bless all angels. It was entrusted to the highest angel. The mission to inform the man that his son to come would be the preparer of the way for the Son of God was entrusted to Gabriel, the highest of all angels. When Daniel, whom the Bible regards as the wisest of wise men, could not understand a matter, God entrusted the role of tutor to Gabriel. And while he is not named in Revelation, it must have been Gabriel who came to John the Revelator. The same angel in Daniel, the same angel in Revelation, because the two go together. Now, this is the Gabriel who is closer to God than any other angel. And when Zechariah said, "How can this be, seeing I'm an old man and my wife well stricken in years?" And the angel answering said unto him, verse 19, Luke 1, "I am Gabriel." In other words, do you know? Finish it for me. Who I am? Do you know who you're questioning? Do you understand who I am? And because of this, verse 20, "And thou shalt be dumb and unable to speak till the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my word, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Gabriel said, "Because you doubted me, I strike you dumb until that boy is born." God told this mighty angel, "Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision." Divine power for human problems. Daniel saw the vision. Daniel sought for the meaning. Couldn't get it. He tried. Learn something about God. God does not step in until a human being has done everything he can or she can. Why does God function that way? Because when God gives life to a man or a woman, God gives to that person capacities, abilities, resources, endowments. God never makes a created being helpless. Yes, he makes us dependent, not helpless, because a helpless person cannot rebel against God. Are you with me? So we are not made helpless, we are made dependent with abilities to use. When we exhaust our abilities, because we're not infinite, God steps in. What subject is giving you difficulty? Physics. It is the bane of every student. Math. Biochemistry. Microbiology causing you to lose weight as you try to understand the principles of finance, economics. Question for you, like Daniel, listen to me carefully. Have you sought for the meaning? Or are you busy watching the Black Stars and Manchester United and Arsenal? Those gods that so many people worship without knowing they're worshiping them. Have you sought? Have you tried? Let me explain what I mean by tried. There's something called a washer and a dryer. You put the clothes in the washer, you put the soap, whatever you put, you set it, and the thing starts to wash the clothes. After 25 minutes, It goes into what is known as a spin cycle, and it spins the clothes to get rid of the excess water. When that spin cycle is over, everything is done, the machine stops. Then you come down to the machine, you open it, and you take out of the dryer, of the washer, the clothes, and where do you put them? In the dryer. Question for you. When you remove the clothes from the washer, are they dripping with water? No. They're not. But why do you put them in the dryer? There's water in them, but it's not dripping. The excess water has been spun out so effectively that you pull the clothes out and it's damp, but there's nothing dripping now. I want you to consider a strong man, powerful forearms. You give him a shirt, a towel, whatever was washed. And now he wrings that thing with all the power available to him. What will happen? Come on, what will happen? Water will drip out. Why? There was always water in the clothes. But it required extra effort to get it out. Now, your brain is that wet garment. Too often, we give up on math or physics, whatever it is, without having done what? Wrung our brains. My young brothers and sisters, develop the habit of wringing your brain. If you wring your brain, some more genius will drip out. Now, if after you do that, you still don't get it, you go to God. You say, Father, like Daniel, I have sought for the meaning. I cannot understand the autonomic system, nervous system. Help me, and God will help you. But we must try. There is a verse in the Bible that every Seventh-day Adventist student should know. As automatically as you know your name, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever, say it with me, thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Stop. Do you understand that hard work in school is Christian behavior? It is not enough to be a Christian in church. You must be a Christian in the classroom, not by the length of your skirt, but by your attitude towards your responsibilities. Attitude are the avenues by which the Spirit of Christ is revealed. Attitude. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Are you hardworking? Do you go the extra mile with your assignments? If you do, when you come to the end of your resources, you may go to God and say to Him, Father, tell Gabriel to help me. I want you to observe what God said to Gabriel in the case of Daniel. Verse 16, Daniel 8, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. Now, listen to the statement, make this man understand the vision. Make this man understand the vision. How many words are those? Six. Those six words constitute what? A suggestion? A request? A command. Which means, if Daniel had not understood, Gabriel would have disobeyed. I lost you. I'm always losing you. Are you following my reasoning? God said, make him. Gabriel had no choice. Make him understand. If Daniel had not understood, Gabriel would have failed. So Gabriel was invested in Daniel's success.
God commanded me, and there's no disobedience in heaven now, since Lucifer was thrown out. He had to make Daniel understand. Here's how he did it. Go to Daniel 9. Then we'll close. I'll let you go. I have 8 o'clock. Daniel 9, read from verse 21 of Daniel 9. Who has said, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth? May I see your hand? 1, 2, 3. Okay. A few more hands, but still the vast majority of you have not prayed for this struggling preacher. I live in hope, and I'll see what happens tomorrow. Daniel 9, reading verse 21. If you found it, say amen. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even Gabriel, the man whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being made to cause to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to do what? Give thee what? Skill and understand. Now, Gabriel did not come to spoon feed Daniel. Do you use that expression in Ghana, spoon feed? Okay. Gabriel didn't come to, no good teacher spoon feeds a student. You give them thinking skills so that the student can draw out the information. Because ultimately, education means ex ducare, means to draw out. Not so much to put in, draw out. Give a man thinking skills, then give him a textbook and let him draw out. And so Gabriel said, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Gabriel did something to Daniel's brain. He didn't just read the answer. He said, let me touch your brain at God's direction. Now, try again. So you may go to God and say, Father, I just can't get the principles of biochemistry. And God will say to you by conviction or by reading, go to sleep earlier. Cut out soccer from your life and give it to biochemistry. Stop eating so much sugar. It affects the fine threads of your brain, the neurons. Stop that. Give up alcohol. You do these things, says God, and your reasoning capacity will be strengthened. Because we are our worst enemies, not the devil. The devil can't make you lazy. The devil can't make you oversleep. The devil can't make you text while the professor is teaching or while I'm preaching. We do these things to ourselves, and then we don't flourish, we don't progress, we don't excel. And since one of the dark features of the carnal nature is to transfer blame, we blame the teacher for not having teaching skills. We blame the school for having an inadequate library. We blame God for blessing everyone else but us. And we leave ourselves untouched by any blame. My young friends, let me come to a conclusion. There is available to you divine power for your human problems. I'll give you 3 examples and I'm done. What time is it? 8:05. I'll be done by 8:15. Go to Luke chapter 22. Let's read from verse 41. Divine power for human problems. Let's see God doing something that He'll do for you. Luke 22, reading from verse 41. I have to move on while you're searching for Luke 22. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Pause. Why did God find it necessary to send an angel? One. Christ was suffering more than he had ever suffered. He suffered in the garden more than he suffered on the cross.
There were three men crucified, Christ in the middle, two thieves. They were all suffering the same physical suffering. So Christ was just going through what the other two guys were going through. Nothing new. Crucifixion was not a novelty. What he suffered in the garden, no one had ever suffered. It was in the garden that he said, if thou be willing, remove it. Not on the cross. It was in the garden he tasted death for every man. In this condition that no human being can fully grasp and explain, he needed some support, some comfort. He turned his head to where the disciples were, perhaps intending to do that. What were they doing? He went looking for them three times. He prayed, get me out of it, three times. His Father is watching this. When the Father saw he did not have one human being to comfort him, the Father did for Christ what he will do for you. If there's no human being to come to your assistance, he sent an angel. Power from above for a problem on the earth. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. Let us see this experience repeated. Matthew 4. We read from verse 10. Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Verse 11 of Matthew 4. Then the devil leaveth him, finish the verse, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, why was this necessary? Christ was in the wilderness. Verse 1 of chapter 4 says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. In Mark chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of the devil, and was with the wild beasts. Mark 1:13. No human beings, no animal can comfort someone in that condition. So if no human being can assist Christ, the Father sent. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. What he did, listen to Ellen White, The Desire of Ages, page 664, paragraph 4. The Desire of Ages, 10 after 8, 664, paragraph 4. Jesus revealed no qualities and exercised no powers that men may not have through faith in him. His perfect humanity is that which all his followers may possess if they will be in subjection to God as he was. There is nothing Jesus did in his humanity, I have to put that in there, that you and I cannot do if we will be in subjection to God as he was. So that what the Father did for him when he had no human help, God is willing to do for you. What God the Father did for Daniel, he's willing to do for you. After you've seen the vision and sought for the meaning. And so tonight, I give you the assurance. As you struggle with your particular temptation, your weakness, there is a God who stands ready, like an athlete in the blocks about to explode in the 100-meter dash. God is waiting to send you divine help when you have done everything you can. He will not take the bottle of alcohol from your hand. He will not take the box of cigarettes from your pocket. He expects you to avoid the store that sells cigarettes. He expects you to avoid your friends that smoke and drink and go to wild parties and take drugs and engage in sexual immorality. He expects you to do that. You can do that. What you cannot do, he will do for you. Divine power for human problems. Let me say it again. When you have done everything you can, God will step in with divine power.
I do not know what your individual struggles are, but I'll say this. Jesus told the disciples in Luke 18:27, the things which are impossible with men, finish it for me, are possible with God. When God told Abraham he'd have a son in Genesis 17, in verse 17 the Bible says, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed because he was too old. So he thought. Well, so he was. When God told Abraham again he'd have a son in Genesis 18, Sarah, sitting in the tent behind Abraham who talked with God, when she heard it, she laughed. What do we have? A family laughing at God. And God asked Abraham in verse 14 of Genesis 18, is anything too hard for the Lord? You answer me now. That's a weak no. What's the problem? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Then your problem is not too hard for God. But it must be a work of cooperation. Your effort, God's power. Daniel sought for the meaning, God sent Gabriel. Can you say amen? How many of you will say, Lord, help me to do my best, and when I reach my lips, send me power from above. Can I see your right hand? Stand up with me. Then we leave. And I hope you will think of what you've heard tonight. Heads bowed quietly. Eyes closed. Father in heaven, if I said anything I should not have said, I apologize. If I was too hard on your people, forgive me. You know my heart, dear God. When I stand in a pulpit, I have one desire. To preach the beauty of your word. The power of your word. Ultimately expressed in the life of Christ and in your own character. Father, help your sons and your daughters standing before you to understand that you can always be relied upon to come through with divine help. But in your love for us, you put us in positions where we must do all we can because that very experience develops character. As Daniel saw the vision and sought for the meaning, dear God. As we see physics, let us seek for the meaning. As we see history, let us seek for the meaning. Let us concentrate our intellectual powers on those challenges, Father, knowing that our backup power is God Himself. As we see the sins that tempt us from day to day, as we mourn and weep over our moral weaknesses, remind us, dear God, that you are prepared to mingle divine power with our human effort. So bless these young men, bless these young women, whose lives the devil desires to capture, but whose lives you bought by the sacrifice of Christ. As we depart tonight, the overwhelming temptation will be to chat and talk about every trivial matter under the sun. How many, dear God, will reflect on what they've heard? Divine power for human problems. Or the previous presentation about the true purpose of education. Father, help them to make the right choice. Watch over them as they sleep. Let everything they do tonight glorify your name. Let no one lead anyone into sin. Post a mighty angel next to the bedside of every one of these men and women, dear God, that all of us may sleep in safety. And when we open our eyes in the morning, let us make our first words, thank you, Father, for life. I commit that life to your glory. Hear this humble prayer, dear God. I offer it in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a good night. See you tomorrow.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.